So what does the Christian life begin with? That's a question I want to ask you tonight. What does the Christian life begin with? Okay. All right. What's another word for salvation? Belief. What do you have for salvation? Faith. Okay. The Christian life begins with faith. Not just any kind of faith, but faith and trust in Jesus Christ, right? Peter called it precious faith in 1 Peter, all right? In 2 Peter, he called it precious faith. And it means that our standing with the Lord today is the same as it was with the apostles centuries ago. Y'all realize that, right? They had the same kind of faith that it takes for you to go to heaven today back then. Nothing's changed about that. It doesn't morph. It doesn't switch. God is still God. Jesus still died for you. Jesus still died for them. And accepting that sacrifice is the same as it was centuries ago. And the world doesn't understand that. We all know that. The apostles were just privileged to see Jesus with their own eyes, walking with them every day. Now, I see Jesus. I don't see physically Jesus. Nobody get me wrong. I see Jesus working every day. Amen. Brother John Henry sitting here. All right? A few weeks ago, he couldn't do that. Amen. I see God working in people's lives. In my own life, I see Him working. I'm not going to tell you everything He's doing in my life, but He is working. All right? And I love that. It's not necessary to see the Lord with our human eyes in order to love Him. Y'all still love Jesus, right? You ever seen Him? No, but you still love Him. All right. And so faith. Peter considered faith a necessary, and obtaining it is the key to starting a Christian life. Faith is taking what we need from the abundant provision of God in the spiritual realm and bringing it into the natural realm. Our salvation is a great example, right? Our salvation is a great example. Jesus died for your sin and the sin of the world. We find that in Romans chapter 5. For it to become a reality in our life, salvation, you have to have faith. And you said that a while ago, right? Salvation is the beginning. So let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. If you'll stand as we read this. I know I told you 1 through 5, but we'll read that one too. So, all right. Verse 1 of chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, sorry. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Brother Mike Goodson, would you pray?
Lord, we just pray for the blessed reading of the word and the message that you put on the Lord's heart. Help us to see in our lives what the Lord
has called to faith. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So we find here in chapter 1 of 2 Peter in verses 1 through 2, it says this: to those who have attained the like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Faith involves what? It involves a person. It involves the person of Jesus Christ, the Son, the Savior. Man, there are other names that you could put with Him, but faith involves a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. His righteousness gives us the right to stand before God. Isn't that great? We don't have a right to stand before God. We're not holy. We're sinners. We turned our back on Him. Each and every one of us. And because we have faith in God, His righteousness gives that opportunity to stand before God. In Anybody excited about standing before God? Really? You're excited to stand before God? I'm excited to stand before God. To the point where my sins start being revealed, and then Jesus steps out and said, "No, I got Kelly." Alright? That's the only reason I'm excited to stand before God. My life has been wrecked with sin. And if it was just me, I do not want to stand before God, because the punishment is far greater than what I can handle. But Jesus Christ gives me that right to stand before God. His grace is God's favor to the undeserving. Raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. You're undeserving. Everybody in this room is undeserving of the favor that Christ has given us. And here's the deal. It says this in verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Man, what a great result that is, to have faith. Peace is the result. Peace is a result of faith. Y'all enjoy peace in your life? You ever find a peaceful moment? Well, maybe when the kids allow me to take a nap. That would be a peaceful moment. No, we have peace in our life. I don't have to worry about the struggles in this world. Zero. I don't worry about them. I tell my wife all the time, she reminded me the other day, that I don't worry about things that I can't control. Y'all try to control everything? I was trying to control something the other day, and she told me, "You can't control it. Don't worry about it." I have peace about things. And that is a great result of it. Romans 5:1. Nope, wrong way. Romans 5:1. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of God." We have peace with God because of it. Here's another thing that we have. In Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." We have peace with God and the peace of God in our life because of faith. Man, that's exciting. If you're not excited about peace, I'm sorry. But I love that I have peace in God because my Christian life started with faith in Jesus Christ. And we look in verse 3 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, it says this, "As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by the glory and virtue." If you underline stuff in your Bible, underline that part right there where it says, "His divine power." I've got that underlined in parentheses. His divine power. Wow. Power of God. Faith involves that power. If there was no resurrection power, what's the point? There wouldn't be any. Because of His death and His resurrection, we can have faith. Because it can happen to us. And accepting Jesus' sacrifices, it will happen to us. Life begins with faith. But when you know Christ, you experience His power. Anybody in this room ever experienced Christ's power? Yeah? Yeah, we have. We've experienced His power. Salvation is a personal experience. In John 17:3 it says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." It's not simply enough to know Christ, but to know Him personally. That knowledge is an active knowledge in this verse. It's not just a book smart where I read about God. It's an active knowledge. One that's truly working in my life. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Is your knowledge of Christ active, or is it dormant? Does it stop with the Bible? Or is He actually alive in you? That power is what gives us life. Where there's life, there should be growth. A lot of Christians stop growing right at that point, right? Y'all seen it? You been there yourself? I accept Jesus Christ and I stop. That's it. I'm good. I don't ever have to do anything else. I'll pick up my Bible every once in a while and I'll read. I'll come to church. I'll sit on a pew. But when there's life, there's growth. And if God has power to give us life, don't you think He has power to make us grow? When you are born into the family of God, you are born complete. You have everything you need, right? When you're born in this life, you have everything you need. Now, I know there are difficulties in life, but you have everything that you need. God gives you everything that you need to survive. The ability to grow. The ability to take care of yourself. The ability to do all the things that are possible in this life. All right? His divine power has given us all things that we need. And that is a great thing that we see here. That His power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All right. And here we see this. God has given us His Word. He's given us His Word. These promises are great that come from within it. For by which we have given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, in verse 4, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. He's given us His Word. We begin life with faith, but how many of us would fall short if we didn't realize all of His promises? He took care of His nation in Israel when they were in captivity all those many years and all those many times that they turned His back on them, that they turned His back on Him, that He was still there. He still promised them. His promises are sure, and they're great because they come from Him. Believing in Christ, the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to impart the life and nature of God. Do you get anything by just going through life and not reading God's promises? Lance, if I told you that God loves you and left it at that, what would you be searching for? The why, the how? All do what? Oh, okay. All the reasonings behind it. You would be looking. I can tell you everything that there is, and you can believe me or not, but God says it in His Scripture. And those are promises to believe, because He has never failed on a promise yet. And that faith that I have in Him, I don't believe He's going to fail on that promise of coming back again and taking me home to be with Him. I truly believe that. What is your nature after you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? What's your nature? Do what? Brand new nature. It's supposed to be, right? Now, let's think about this for just a second. All right? It says that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, our nature determines a few things. It determines our appetite, our behavior, the environment that we can keep ourselves in, the association of people that we're in. Now, faith, he says here that we may be partakers of the divine nature. Only a nature that He can give us. A nature that does not involve corruption that we see through the world, through lust. We ought to have God's nature when we have faith, right? Anybody in here have God's nature? You hope so? We ought to have God's nature. We ought to have an appetite for things that are pure and holy. The world doesn't have an appetite for things that are pure and holy. They have an appetite of things that make them feel good. But we should have an appetite of things that are pure and holy. Our behavior should be like that of the Father. Dale, how was your behavior today? Should I ask somebody else? Okay. How was our behavior today? It's Father's Day. I hope that our behavior was like that of the Heavenly Father. Not like, I'm W.K. Roach's son. He is my father. I don't want my behavior to be like Dad's was all the time. I want it to be like the Father that he served. That's the nature that I want to serve, to be and to have a behavior as. We should live in a spiritual environment. What's your environment like? Where do you spend your days? Ken spends his days at the church. So you're in a spiritual environment, right? Oh, okay. He said that with all positivity, Michael, so I don't know how much influence we have. But we should be in a spiritual environment all the time. Do you go places that doesn't have a spiritual environment? Yeah, we all do. We all do. And some of you may be looking at me going, what do you mean I go to a place that doesn't have a spiritual environment? Well, there's a lot of places in the world that do not have spiritual environment that have crept in, and it becomes commonplace anymore, and we never notice it. You realize that, right? Restaurants you go to, places you go to, just in general. There's so much that is not a spiritual environment in our daily walk of life. I'm not saying that you should stay here at this church every minute of your life. Anybody want to do that? Offerings would be really good if they did that, right, Mike? Okay. But a spiritual environment is where we need to contain our lives. Strive our best to be in that realm, in that area. And we do that by associating with what is true to our nature. Our sin nature wants us to associate with everything that the world has for us. Our divine nature that we get through faith and acceptance of Jesus Christ as our personal Savior wants us to associate with everything that is heavenly. So which direction do we go? If our Christian life begins with faith, what does it end with? It ends with faith, right? That hope that is revealed and secured. And so in between there, we should find ourselves wanting an appetite and behavior and an environment and our association that is true and holy. Galatians 5:22-25 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." These qualities grow out of a life and out of a vital relationship with Christ. I don't have these qualities if I do not have Christ. And neither do you. You're not kind. You're not gentle. You're not patient. I just describe myself completely to a T. Without Christ, none of those things are me. Godly living is a result of cultivating this new nature received from faith. Godly living. How many of you have a godly life? Something that you have to examine in yourself. Do we have a godly life? I can tell you right now, if you're in this room and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you do not have a godly life. Because that life begins with faith. And until you accept Jesus Christ and trust Him and have faith in Him, you cannot have a godly life. You cannot live a life that is pure and holy because He is not in you. Because in me and in you, there's nothing pure and holy without Jesus Christ. Dale, we're going to have an invitation. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your life begins with faith. Right now, you don't have a life. You have an existence. Your life begins with faith tonight. That faith that is precious. Peter calls it precious. And I don't know whether you consider your faith in Jesus Christ as precious or not. But Peter described it that way. And to me, that's the perfect description. That faith is precious. And it can only be attained through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. So tonight, this is your opportunity to know Him as your personal Savior. This is also your opportunity to realize that your faith has given you a condition called new life to get away from all the other stuff that is bogging down your life. So as we stand tonight, Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. And we thank You for allowing us to come to You in prayer and for this time that we get to spend in Your Word. Father, we just thank You for Your sacrifice and for giving us the ability to have faith in that. For giving us the opportunity to accept it. And Father, for giving us the opportunity to treat it in the precious manner that it is. And to cultivate that life with You. And so that our life would grow. And it would become a beautiful thing because You are in it. Father, I love You and I praise You. In Your name I pray. Amen.